Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in and checking out another episode of Drinks with Johnny. We have a very special guest today, a very talented singer, drummer, many facets of life, wonderful Brandon Seller of Atreyu. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me, good sir.
Of course. This is going to be awesome. So this this time you picked a New York Sour.
I did.
For me to make, which was awesome. We talked about this for the upcoming week, and I got to learn how to make this drink. I'd never had it before, so you turned me on to something pretty awesome. So,
you know, and you,
I appreciate it.
You have me to thank for that.
I do. I really do.
It's a delicious drink.
It was an awesome trial to go through and make these several times and
grueling.
Drink them. It's oh, it was.
Yeah, it's
grueling. So let's get into it. We're gonna make this drink.
New York Sours.
So I got you some real good bourbon, I think. It's a private select Maker's Mark.
It'll
you approve?
Do.
Yeah.
It'll do.
We're going a little fancy on this for sure. It's like, you know, I can't know that someone out there has made a better one for you.
This is not a blue collar New York sour.
So in order to make one of these, you're gonna take two shots of bourbon to start off. You're gonna put in two shots of bourbon. And then you go down the line of all these ingredients.
Look at this.
We got ourselves an ounce of fresh squeezed lemon juice. Very key that's fresh squeezed. That's gonna go right in there. Then we have a simple syrup. Now, I actually just learned how to make simple syrup. So I did this is my own batch. It's you take equal parts, water and sugar, bring it up to a boil, make sure the sugar all dissolves, call it a day, let it sit, cool it down. Now it's ready for drinks.
Johnny Simple Syrup, aren't you?
Johnny Simple Syrup. That November sounds a little. That's, yeah, that sounds a little funky, man.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd trust that.
And then we got. So the way I did it, just to make it easier on me, is I got liquid egg whites, but they got to be pasteurized.
I did not know that. I'm already impressed.
Yeah, you know, you learn something new every day. Mm-hmm. And we get that all together. Give it a few shakes. And now we pour.
Oh yeah, babe.
Oh, always make sure you're pouring this over the rocks, or ice as they say. All right, now comes the real fun part, guys. Because you're such a special guest, and I wanted to make this a really special drink for you, mm-hmm. I went out of my way to get a bottle of Opus One.
Oh, you did?
For the red wine floater on this drink.
Like I said, this is not your blue collar New York sour.
And somewhere out there, there is just one person that is either watching or listening to this right now and is a wine connoisseur, mm-hmm. and they just had a fucking heart attack.
You know what? And to you, good sir or madam, we salute you.
Now that just pissed him right off.
Yeah, proceed.
The idea behind this red wine floater is to make sure you pull it over the back side of the spoon very slowly so that it stays all the way on top. It's the idea, it's why, hence a floater. Mm-hmm. It's gonna sit on top of the drink. You wanna give about, you know, normal recipe probably calls for like half an ounce, half a shot, but you know, I'm gonna pour a little bit more because it's Opus One.
Yeah. Johnny, I just went from 6 to midnight. Now that's New York.
All right, I got it.
That's actually fucking good, it's delicious.
Is it? I was making them earlier today just with Justin. I made the one with Opus just for a B-roll right before you got here. And I was like, dude, this is fucking awesome.
Fucking good.
It's a great drink, man. Thank you.
It really is.
In all seriousness, really, thank you for turning me onto this drink. And it's not hard to make, too. It's really not.
Everyone gets kind of frightened by the egg whites because it's like
it's literally just there for texture. You can't fuck it up.
The Opus is actually wonderful.
It really is, too.
Someone's really gonna have a heart attack. Oh. What a dick.
What an absolute cocksucker.
It really is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good move.
Yeah. You know the other element about being a terrible bartender, in my case, is I have the shakiest effing hands in the world.
I was just gonna say, you need another drink.
I know, right? I think that's the only way I'm ever gonna do it.
And the next one,
I'm shaking it before I even put it in the shaker. Before I forget, we need to get the photo so I could put out the April Fool's thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where's my phone? Where did I put that?
Actor, comedian, you, what
Lathone from movies like Super Troopers.
Was he in Super Troopers?
The second one.
The second one, Super Troopers 2.
All right, cool. Let's get back to business. Let's get back to business out here in New York.
Fucking New York, son. You know what's funny is now that's New York is a Will Sasso thing.
Is it really?
So he does this thing where he'd be like, hey, I'm in New York City out in front of a greasy spoon we call Denny's. Like, he'd go in and be like, they got all the things. They got hot dogs, hamburgers. And they come in and he's like, hey, you guys got hot dogs? And they're like, yeah. He's like, oh, and they go out there. He's like, now that's New York. But he would do shit that's like so not New York.
That's so rad.
Like, I'm in front of a little bodega called 7-Eleven.
I gotta check this out.
They got all the things the kids want. And he's like, hey, you have those fruit cups that are disgusting and almost rotten? Fruit cups are in the back. And he takes a bite. He's like, now that's New York.
I gotta listen to that. What is it on?
It's just like on. It was on his like Insta stories. So it might be on YouTube or something. But he did he was like filming a movie and like at his trailer was like an ice chest and it was Poland Springs seltzer water.
Okay.
And he like goes and like slams his fist in the thing and like pulls out a Poland Springs. Now that's New York.
Poland Springs.
It's just like fucking.
That's ridiculous.
It's great.
We should probably tell the kids why we're talking about Will Sasso, too, in this episode. Yeah. I don't know if anyone can tell, but this is his doppelganger, mm-hmm. Mr. Brandon Salle. So we've had this discussion many times over the years, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. I've had it with you, and I've had it with about 7,000 Atreyu fans that have come to our show and asked, do you forget that you look?
Yeah. It's kind of like Chad with Will Ferrell, right?
100%. It's the same.
I'm sure he hears. He's heard that to the end of time.
Yeah, to the end of time. He's more Will Ferrell than he is Chad Smith.
Oh, yeah, he's got to be.
At first I was super offended because like back in the day, Will Sasso was like real big. He wasn't like a husky.
It's not about the body. It's the face.
But to me, when someone comes up to you and says like, "Hey, you look like that fat comedian," you're like, "Sick."
That was really the confidence booster I needed today.
Awesome. Can I sign your shit? You know? But then he like trimmed down. He's looking great these days.
Yeah.
And so then it was like, cool, yeah, I do I look like this.
Yeah.
And it's more so, it's really in like the mannerisms and like the stupid facial expressions where I think
it's still very prevalent in your face.
Seeing the dude face to face though, it's like, it's real.
I love that. I dig that about you. Cheers, man.
Cheers. This is a wonderful New York sound.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
This is a wonderful program, man.
Yeah, thank you. I'm asking everybody, like I'm starting to line up all these different episodes now, and I'm asking everybody, I'm like, well, what time of day do you want to do it? Because we're going to be literally drinking. And usually it comes back a nighttime thing, but I'm going to be interested to see who the first guy is going to be like, let's start at like noon. Or like 10 o'clock in the morning. It would be like, fuck yes. That is my favorite time to start.
I think I've told you this before. We did me and a couple of dudes from Johnny's. It was me, Johnny, Kyle, Howdy Doody.
Yeah.
And a couple other dudes. We did this thing called 10 and 10. Or no, 12 and 12, sorry.
Where we Remind did, me. I think you told me about
we
this.
We did 12 bars in 12 hours.
Oh, yeah.
From 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. Started at Johnny's. We did like Johnny's, second floor, a bunch of bars in Huntington Beach. Went down to like Blackie's. And like down there, like really got in with like the super dark 7 a.m. bar crowd.
Yeah, I was gonna say like, how were you? Well, obviously you had Johnny
in the gap.
In the gap, we went to Johnny's to keep it going.
To charge the cameras, but we fucking destroyed his bar.
Oh, he was every night.
There. No, no,
every night he does that.
I was breaking pool cues over my head.
Oh shit, you guys went
it
rowdy.
It was like a clown thing he had. I was like punching it in the face. There was this dude, Brendan, was behind the bar, just with glasses, just throwing glasses at the wall. All the while, Johnny's just like, yeah, like stoked. We were like listening to like Hatebreed and freaking the Ramones and shit.
Oh, that's
just like
rad.
Circle pitting, destroying his bar.
I just have to say, you are the perfect guest to have right now because I'm trying to like legitimize this episode and make it, it's not just about drinking drunk stories. It's more than that. We're gonna make drinks. Yeah, and then the stories will come out. I hope that these episodes last long enough for our children to hear these stories.
Yeah. But Dad, remember that time you said you?
Oh, we're screwed.
No,
we're gonna be like,
no, I don't. Well, here's.
Well, it's all for. We didn't actually do any of these. It's just for the show. These aren't real stories.
These are made
kids.
Up scripts.
These are made up.
I'm glad you sent me the scripts so early so I could memorize them.
Yeah.
Say them so fluidly that they seem real.
Yeah. That's, it was all part of the master plan. Oh, beautiful, man. Beautiful. Let's talk about your beer, my man. I got some stuff sent over my way from my good friend Sean.
Mr. Akavon.
Yeah. I mean, this is pretty cool looking. I mean, I don't see too many beers with the comic book shit on it like that.
Dude,
like,
that's jacked. If you focus in on this can, look how
let's pull one out. Let's crush one of these.
Look how ripped I am. I'm like a Greek god.
My only problem with it though is I don't understand why you guys took M Shadows and put him on that.
Literally, look, that could be
now. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. I just think he was, you know, just go for the big guns. Throw them on your beard.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty rad.
I mean, his guns look pretty good, but I don't know if they look this good.
No, I mean, you're He-Man in that
shit.
And
not a tattoo, just pure as the snow is white. Yeah, I don't know if that's
that beard whipping around.
Look at the wind.
That's dope.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, so Noble is an amazing brewery from Orange County.
How did the marriage of Noble and Atreya really happen?
So we had a couple breweries in Orange County that we really liked, Noble being our top pick.
Okay.
We're all familiar with their brewery. Dan, our guitar player, was familiar with them as well. He's done some kind of business with them. And so we went and hit them up, talked to them, and it turns out they're like big metal dudes. So
oh, really?
Fans of the band. They're like, new, you know, so they're...
Are you telling me guys who like beer are into metal?
Strange concept, as it may be. Not just foofy New York style.
Not just foofy, yeah. New York style.
Real beer.
Real beer.
So we hit them up, went and met them, took a tour of the brewery, talked about what we might want to do.
It's delicious.
It's a tasty beer.
Now. Yeah. Well. So you talked about... sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there. I just had to tell you.
It's all good.
Congrats.
Thank you. So we met with them, talked about what we might want to do, and came up with this concept of the... kind of citrus double IPA, and we're all fans of IPA, so that kind of seemed perfect.
Yeah.
We got this crazy artwork done, kind of our album art, us as like weird superheroes. There's a song on the album called Superhero, which Shadows sings on.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we have a beer. It kind of like goes away for a second, and they're like, hey guys, beer's done, we're gonna do the launch party, and we're gonna do whatever, and you're like, oh shit, we have a beer.
That's so rad.
You know?
So I'm very envious of that, by the way.
Our fans came out, fucking... You know, that, and it was gone. Like, it was here and gone. Like, the fact that you have a 4-pack tonight is surprising to me.
Are you guys going to be doing more of it, or what do you... What
we
do
haven't
you
decided whether we're going to just do another batch of this, or we're going to do something different.
But there's going to be another Atreya beer.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
Absolutely. We're stoked on the Noble Dudes, and it was so...
How's that? I haven't been down to that facility yet. How is it?
It's cool. It's just a small, kind of mellow thing, but it's like, it's insane what you can do with... They're expanding.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like a lot of these craft breweries, especially here, like...
I actually think the Orange County beer right now is a little underrated, to be honest. Like, a lot of them are coming out. They're really coming out with some great ones. Like, I don't know if you've been down to Rip in Huntington.
Yeah.
I think they got a great couple of beers in there.
Absolutely. It's definitely cool. There's definitely a lot of beers here that are really fucking killing it. And like really being known on a global level.
Yeah.
It's the crossover was crazy between like their following and our following. Holy shit, you guys are doing a beer with Atreya? And then like, holy shit, you're doing a beer with Noble?
Yeah.
Like, it was equal. It's a good little beer.
It's a great beer. It really is. I'm just, you know, I just really stoked for you guys to be able to do that. I mean, that these breweries are like open to these ideas now and stuff. And they're like, they're a lot of times, especially with some of those East Coast breweries, I'm not going to name names or anything like that, but like, they get a little too elitist with their beverages, with their beers and stuff. And it's like, man, I get why you're being a little bit elitist, because that shit's fucking delicious. Let's see what our April Fool's joke is at, too. Hey, that's pretty quick. For my post, we're already at 3,500 likes.
Damn.
That's good for me.
Not bad. Any comments?
51. The first one is, oh my god, I thought that was Brandon from Atreya.
That's so good.
I did too. Oh, everyone's getting in on it. That's because it is. Laugh out loud. Someone finally got it.
That's so good.
Also, that's not Latter Day Christ. It's Danny DeVito. Oh, I love that person. I love you.
That's Brandon Seller. That's so funny.
Those comments are pretty good.
I didn't even recognize them.
This is the funniest shit I've seen all day.
This is so good. everyone's just waiting for Brian to say pussy.
Yeah.
Pussy. I'm gonna call that pussy.
You're gonna beat him to it? Yeah, just keep it. Oh, that's fantastic. Even Alex Reeser, assistant in the manager, I just got a text from him.
What did he say?
Hey, dude, saw you interviewed with Will Sasso. Do you think you wanted that posted this week?
Wait, did he look at the post? I know, yeah. Alex well.
It doesn't sound like he's joking, dude. It doesn't sound like he's in on it at all.
Did you look at the post?
I'm just going to say, yeah, man.
Yeah, for sure. Post it. Dude, that's fucking funny. Yeah, dude. Post it for sure. Yeah.
So, as we kind of spoke upon a little bit, Opus One is, you know, it's a very high-end wine out of Napa.
It's
something that you don't have on an everyday occurrence.
It's not what you call a daily drinker.
And it's not what you call a daily drinker. But let me ask you, when's the what's your memories to this bottle, the Opus One bottle?
So I have one, aside from tonight, I have one other memory. It involves myself, my good friend Kyle Rosa, you,
I know.
Sinister Gates, in a hotel room. We've had a night already.
Oh yeah.
And I believe the saying was, why don't you come up for a nightcap? It was about a 5-hour nightcap.
Yeah. And they always end up turning on, you know, when there's really not much else for us to do after a certain hour, and we're just like, but we're still awake. Yeah, you know, we played a show.
Yeah. We've already gigged. So we went back up to maybe been yours or Brian's room. I think it was Brian's room.
I think it was. I think it was Gates, yeah.
And you wanted to, I'll call it, stick it to the man.
I guess that's the way to put it, yeah.
So you...
He told me to order wine for us all.
We wanted to drink some wine.
Yeah.
So you ordered a couple bottles of something or other, Justin or something nice.
Which is like a justification, isosceles, yeah. Something. And it was another California wine, but a higher end one, yeah.
Beautiful. And then you ordered two bottles of Opus One. And I remember the conversation of the hotel guy. Sir, are you sure you want this much wine? Yes, send them up. Please, send them up at once. So we drank a couple bottles of Opus One, a couple bottles of something else, real nice. We really just enjoyed ourselves.
Yeah.
But the funny part is, at the time, I think we were probably too shithouse to understand
what we were drinking. No, I mean, I'd had Opus One a handful of times before that, and so I was very aware of what it was and what was coming up, what was coming up the pipe, you know. Me being someone who's frequented Napa many times, I've just become a huge fan of this bottle.
Absolutely. Now the funny thing is, so when I left the hotel to go back to my hotel, maybe around 5 a.m., before my Uber account, for some reason, was connected to my wife's phone number. So at 5 a.m. our time, which is like 7 a.m. her time, the Uber called her, letting him know that
they're on their way.
So she texts me like, hey, your Uber's ready. And I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. And then, of course, the next day, like, what'd you guys do?
Yeah.
So then I let out, oh, yeah, we had it out in the room, and a couple bottles of Opus One. My wife's a big wine person, too. So I can't really say Opus One still to this day without her being a fucking stink guy.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, just out on the road,
just
having
out
fun,
having a good time drinking Opus One. But you know what? You're a hospitable motherfucker.
Oh, thank you,
and
thank you.
That's the truth.
Yeah, let's cheers for the 9 millionth time on this episode.
Exactly. Yeah. We should have a counter.
Oh, a counter would be great.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. This guy's full of great ideas. I told you.
Cheers.
Very special guest.
Muy especial.
So I want to segue into another story here. I don't know how aware of this you are, but when I first joined Avenged Sevenfold, I just came in to do a 2-week tour with them, and I was still in high school at the time. I made the arrangements with my teachers, and was like, I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks, whatever. I didn't think there was going to be much else to it. I just thought, a couple weeks, I'm helping out with some buddies and stuff like that. That tour ended up being the tour that at the end, right before the Showcase Theater, which was like the highlight of the tour,
I joined the band. And that is also the time that I met you, as you were the co-headliner in Atreyu to said tour. We went up and down the West Coast for a couple weeks. From my perspective, I was just, you know, I was a baby in a big world at that point. Like, I just didn't know. You guys had already been doing several tours, you know, a couple weeks here and there, wherever wherever the gigs were, you guys were already out there. And co-headliner, everyone's on the same playing field, you know. One of my favorite things was how you guys brought us out to someone's house in Phoenix, I want to say. And we had highballs there.
Yeah, Scott.
And that was that's a memory that I always remember, because I was just like, wow, this is what the road life is. You play a gig and you go over to some dude's house, and he like, it just opens up the doors to you, and you just have drinks at his house, and it's like a house party after that. And like, and that's what it was for us. I mean, those at the time, days. Those were the days. It's literally, you couldn't afford a hotel room, so you had to go to a friend's house and everything. So that specific night was like a big eye opener. I was like, whoa, man, this is what this is. I'm so all in. And it wasn't until the end of the tour that I even knew that they were going to offer me that job.
For sure.
So that was I was fresh in, and I, and there was no guarantees, and I was breaking strings like crazy. So there was no guarantee.
I was just clipping them.
I was just going for it, man. So I just want to ask you how much you remember about that tour. Is there any specific stories that you have?
Well, the first interaction we ever had with anything Avenged Sevenfold was play a show. It was pre you in L.A. It was us and Avenged and Forbidden Ashes. I remember getting there earlier in the day. We were eating or something, and it was maybe Brian, Matt, and Zach walking across the street, maybe Jimmy too, walking across the street, and it was like, we were like, those dudes look like us. We don't know who that is. I'm assuming that's another band.
Everyone's got tattoos and dressed in black, I assume.
And then at that show, I remember, I think Brian might have played bass, because they just got their bass player, old bass player, couldn't be there.
Yeah, Damian Ash had left for his, like, somebody's wedding or something like that.
So I think Zach played guitar, Brian played bass, I want to say. And I remember watching and being like, holy shit, this is cool. And we were like, oh, this band's awesome. And I bought the fucking CD from Val.
Yeah, that was the merch girl at the time, Matt's wife. Yeah.
Well, I went to go home and I put the CD in, and our guitar player Dan's car, and the first song was fucking the piano song.
Tame the Rapture? The soft ballad. The ballad. Oh, yeah. Warmest on the Soul.
Warmest on the Soul.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like, did the fucking right CD? Like, this is the band we just watched. I'm like, well, this is fucking crazy. So it was a realization for us that we were like, this band is like us. We're just doing, like, trying to do weird off the wall shit. But no one else is doing it. That's the first one, where it's like, oh, cool, Avenged Sevenfold, that's a fucking cool band. Then we go on tour. That night in Arizona was the first night we actually really got to hang out.
Yeah, it was.
You know what I mean? Getting to know people, this and that. And the one that sticks out for me on that tour is it involves Matt.
Yeah.
So we get to a show, and Matt's pissed. I'm like, what? Why is he pissed? Why? He's like, oh, I fucking was at the casino last night. I lost a fucking bunch of money at the casino. I'm like, well, first of all, what casino?
Yeah.
So in that like span of 2 weeks, he had like gone to a casino and like lost a bunch of money, and then like borrowed money from like the merch butt, like the fucking cash box, and like got up again and got down again, and the next day like, oh, I'm fucking down. I'm going back tonight. I'm gonna win my money back. And it was this like four day span of like him just gambling every night. And in my head, I'm like, first of all, but then also I was like, these dudes are fucking nuts. And it was like I feel like I'm gonna end up being friends with these people.
Yeah.
Like, but it was just funny because not knowing someone and being like, wait, you took money from your merch box? And the band was like, yeah, cool, man, go get it. Like, this is the coolest thing ever. This is what being in a band's all about.
Yeah, I remember those times too. It wasn't, you know. Matt is a good. It wasn't that crazy to us because Matt's actually a good gambler, and you know that now because we've been to Vegas together and we've done that whole thing, and he's the one who taught me how to do stuff and everything like that. So I know he does his research. He knows how to gamble, and it was just fun for us because I mean, like, literally, I couldn't even go into the casinos at the time. I was 18 years old, so we'd stop at these casinos and everyone would go in. I think even Zach might have had a had a fake ID at this point. Yeah. And he, because I think he turned 21 on this tour.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, he turned 21 on this tour. And
I think I was 19.
Yeah. And we were like, how did...
Just fucking kids.
Just kids. Straight like
up kids. Think of a 19-year-old. I mean, Matt's not that much older than I am. But no. To be like, you're going to casinos and just gambling all night? Like, that's where you go after this?
Yeah.
I'm like... Falling asleep on the bench.
Well, there's stops on the way, and we're all driving ourselves. I mean, can you think of how
you drive yourself
absolutely,
stupid.
Yeah, and absolutely dangerous it was that we were doing this? We were in, like, the shittiest vans of all time, uh-huh. with trailers on them as well. You yeah. can't go, our car, if you went 70 or above, the whole thing started rattling.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, I mean, that's probably the only deterrent that kept us alive, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, you just think about, like, what that life was like at that time. Like, and all of us still so confident. Like, I can remember looking across at you guys. And I'm not even in the band yet. And I'm looking across. And I see you as, like, you guys are all talking. And everyone's just got a little bit of confidence. Like, we're just feeling each other out for the first time.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even part of it. So I got to, like, see it from, like, yeah, the side. I'm kind of looking from the outside. I'm looking at both you guys, like, kind of sizing each other up.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's puffing on their chest, like, yeah, you know, we did pretty good last night in merch, you know?
Yeah, that was a good show.
Yeah, it was a good show, yeah, man. We're
pretty
stoked. Yeah.
Because that's all it was. I mean, dude, when you're coming up, it's just a fucking, it's a months long of a dick measuring contest.
Oh, it totally was.
You know, it was just ridiculous, you know? But at the same time, it's like, if you could have said, you know, like, what was that now? Fucking almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fast forward 10 years. And you'll all be great friends.
Yeah, you would have no idea. You would have no idea.
You're going to go swimming at his house with all of your kids.
Yeah.
In about 15 years.
And yeah, or you're going to be at their weddings.
Yes.
And on the way too.
Yeah. Back then it was just like, oh, we're fucking out here, just
yeah,
doing our thing.
Yeah. Had no idea. There was going to be such a long lasting friendship that would come that way.
This is a fun fact too. Back to the Arizona night. Zach had a mushroom head beanie.
Yeah.
And he left that mushroom head beanie at my friend Scott's house. And Scott was like, dude, this dude left his beanie. And I'm like, who gives a fuck? I don't think he gives a shit. He's like, I just feel bad. You know, I want to, like, give him his beanie back. I'm like, okay, well, text him or, I don't know, go on MySpace or something. And
see what communications were at that time? I don't think I had a cell phone yet at that point.
Yeah. I think he ended up maybe going to one of your shows when you guys came back around. It was like, hey, man, like, you said, you left your beanie. And I think Zach was like, what the fuck? Like, thank you. I love this beanie. Thank you. Like, it was just funny. Like, it's a fucking beanie. It's a shit.
Yeah. Those mushroom head dudes were rad though too. Did you guys do any tours with them?
You guys always did like the off the wall tours. Like back in the day, we always kind of did like your like hardcore band. Like we toured like Shai Hulud and mm-hmm. Hopes Fall and like shit like that. Where you guys kind of dipped into the more, I won't call it the mainstream earlier, but like mushroom head and
yeah.
like, shit like that.
Well, there was a lot of stuff that was still kind of. At the time, everyone was calling it nu metal.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of those bands that actually kind of took us under their wing. I mean, before I was in the band, the way it was described to me is basically they were the only gigs that were out there to begin with. Then we realized that sounding different was better for those tours. It got people looking at us a little bit more. And I think that was the theory behind it.
Yeah.
So
we had this conversation with your brother the other day, yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Briefly, it was ironically coming up, Avenged Sevenfold and Atreyu were the two bands in Orange County that were like the outcasts. No one liked us. Like,
yeah.
We sounded different and it was weird and we all had our own thing and no one cared, but coincidentally.
And taking it on the road too, you can't, at that time, when you took a Orange County hardcore band at the time out on the road,
yeah.
It was very regional. Every other region said that they had their hardcore and they ain't listening to nobody else's.
Yeah, their brand of whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But coincidentally, we'll bring it up. We'll cheers again.
Yeah. Now we're drinking Opus 1 together.
Now we're drinking Opus 1 20 years later and things have worked out.
They have.
So thank you, everybody.
Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you're enjoying this so far. So another thing I wanted to ask you about. So I know a little bit about it, but you know, I want to hear it from your recounting. I know
that you guys in the trade went on a little bit of a hiatus for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then now you guys are back after Long Live and the one you're currently on.
In Our Wake.
In Our Wake, that's right. Thank you. I've been drinking. And then...
it's a miracle that I remember.
So you guys are now back and probably better than ever. I mean, it sounds like everything's going really great. Everything I talked to you about, you guys are on tours. What tour are you coming up on?
We're going out and doing a co-headline run. It's called the Spring Invasion Tour with Motionless and White.
Cool.
And a band called Wilson, who's awesome. There's like a good party band.
Very cool. So basically, I want to get back to, if you don't mind, what was that hiatus about? As much as you can give, yeah. Obviously you don't want to, you don't want to give away the keys to the castle here. But as much as you can give, and like, what made you guys realize that you needed to continue a trade and bring it all back together?
I think that it came down to, at the time we had done a trade since we were kids. I turned 18 on tour. And we didn't stop.
We have a similar experience there.
Yeah. So we went going like 10 plus years of just like going on record. Tour. I think it started to burn out. And I don't know about you guys, I feel like maybe in a similar headspace where it's like, you really take this job as a privilege. Mm-hmm. We're lucky to get what we do. And it's like, when you kind of get to the point where you're like, I'm just out here phoning it in. Like, I don't know that we were kind of like, we don't know that we deserve to be here right now. Like, I wouldn't want someone to come pay and come see me play. I know that I'm just kind of like going through the motions.
Yeah, that's not what you started out to do.
It doesn't translate. You can sniff that shit from a mile away.
Yeah, and you don't want to put out a product like that.
So I was like, I think we should go away for a minute.
Gotcha.
So we went away for a while. I started another band, Hell or High Water.
Awesome band, which you're the front man of, by the way, which is, I don't know that everyone knows that right now out there watching, but you're a badass front man. I've seen you at a couple of shows running across bars and shit, and it's pretty fucking rad.
Stage can't hold me down. It was fun. I think that's what taking a break taught us all. It taught us so much about ourselves individually, maybe kind of like strengthened each other's weaknesses individually, that when it was time to come around, 4 or 5 years later, it was like, let's try this again. And we all really brought our A game back to the table. It was like, we've had this kind of moment of clarity and this break and really time to self-reflect and grow. Let's see where we're at now.
Yeah.
So we came back, a handful of years ago, did a record called Long Live. It was like a tangible version of what it sounds like when five dudes have pent up aggression and put it on tape.
It's a very heavy record.
Yeah, it's heavy. It's fucking fast. There was no, our label was like, singles? We're like, fuck, no. Go fuck yourself.
They wanted to become the bull again.
Yeah, and rightfully so though. We're like, you're not getting a second of it. And they're like, cool, we love it. That's why our label's great.
That's great. That's great. You have that relationship with them too.
Yeah, so we put out the record. We did literally bare minimum. Kind of dipping our toes back in the water. It felt really good. Our fans really treated us great. A lot of new people were seeing us for the first time. So it was like, let's make another record. We in between I had done a Hell or High Water record. We did a full cycle on that. So there was almost another break.
Mm-hmm.
And it came time. I was like, let's make a record. Let's do something cool. It's really like, let's try this time. let's go both feet in the deep end. And so we went back in with John Feldman, who did Blood Cells Paper Anchor, which is a huge record for us. And just kind of like fucking went for it.
Yeah, I remember it was last summer you sent me this record. And I listened to it pretty often when I was on my walks. I do a walk along the beach like pretty much every day, and I was listening to that a lot. And I'd be damned, those are some fucking anthems, bro. You guys came up with some anthems on that record, for sure. And it's not like it's just like there was one. It was like, when I was listening, I was like, damn, like every song has an anthem part. But like in an awesome way. Yeah. I was like, this is fucking catchy, hooky. At the same time, the heavy breakdowns, I literally was thinking while I was listening to this record, I was like, this reminds me of what Atreyu was when I first joined Avenged. Like when I would hear you guys, and every night after there was a song, I should have done my homework to find the actual name of it, but it was always stuck in my head that you guys always finished with at that era. Lip so hard to see. Bro. Yeah.
Oh no, that's Ain't Love Grand.
Yeah, Ain't Love Grand.
Oh, look at you with the lyrics.
Yeah. Good. So that's still in there. You know what? I'll tell you a funny story about the lyrics in a second. But yeah, so it sounded like you got this anthem going,
And you still got the heavy breakdowns, everything. And I was just so happy to hear that again, because I was like listening and I was like, don't get me wrong, I love all your guys' shit. But like when I heard that, I was like, this is what I remember Atreyu was. Like, and but with a new sound. And like, and you could clearly hear that everyone was like working together again.
Yeah, well, it's funny because there's a pressure. When you go away for a while and you come back, there's that immense pressure that's like, you have to make this fucking record. No one's heard shit from you in a while. This better be fucking good. So we went like, oh, this be fucking heavy. Oh, and I don't know, it was very like knee-jerk reaction to making a record.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of that too was at the time our guitar player was dealing with his sobriety, was getting sober. So he kind of had a little bit of a backseat to writing, but in the studio he was kind of like taking care of his health.
Yeah.
So there was a piece missing on the puzzle. So we had that record, you know, we made it and we're proud of it, but it was like, it was very like knee-jerk, like, ultra, just like, make just music all now. Sudden,
yeah, totally.
Where I think on In Our Wake, we had a moment to like reflect on what worked and what felt good about making music again,
mm-hmm.
what our fans loved, what we loved. And so I think there's a whole new sense of like again, I say, moment of clarity when you make this new record where there's not as much pressure because you already did one.
Yeah.
And it's like, it just all seemed like it made more sense, you know?
Yeah, you can hear it. I mean, yeah. Like, as someone... an outsider listening and stuff, you can hear it. You can, and I actually think it was a brilliant progression to come back to. You had to come back. You got to be real. You got to come back with what's in your heart, and you got to keep working. I mean, that's something that I don't know that a lot of songwriters talk about as much. But like for me, and I think it sounds like it is for you. It has a lot to do with writing in the moment, and you know, making friends with that moment first. And then get moving forward and not trying to force something.
I feel like every record Atreyu's ever made is very much a picture of where we're at that time.
Mm-hmm.
No other moment in time matters.
Yeah. But you're not thinking about, oh my God, is this song going to be rad in 10 years? Yeah, you don't think about that shit.
Where we are at right now, people will listen to that and say, okay, that's where they were at right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like anyone else. If a painter makes paintings and the paintings from the fucking 40s or the 50s or the 60s are different, whatever. Cause like, there's a different expressions of that.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with music. So you have to be, I feel like the only way is to follow that road, because anything else comes off as contrived and bullshit. And everyone can sniff bullshit from a mile
away. Oh, especially these days, man.
Yeah.
With everything that's out there right now, it's done. Like you gotta be yourself. Cause if you ain't, like everyone knows it.
There's a million bands that sound the same.
Yeah.
They all will do.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But absolutely. Be yourself and it always works out.
Well, I'm just super glad that we're still able to do this shit together, man.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal thing.
This is
thing.
Fucking awesome.
Where's the counter?
Where's the counter? Okay, so getting back to that first tour and all you guys' songs and everything, there was a specific song that was always stuck in our heads after you guys used to end with it on that tour. And it was it's so hard to see when you guys, what's the name of it?
Ain't Live Grand.
So as I know, we'd be in the dressing rooms when we'd hear it, you know, especially on the nights where we're very wrapped up and you guys are closing out and we're getting ready and stuff. We'd be in the back going, it's so hard to pee when your dick is frozen to the back of your leg.
That's a visual.
It totally was. And part of it, like I at the time, I was like always thinking, I'm like, it was cold that time of year too. I think it was December on the West Coast, and we were going up to like Seattle and stuff too. I don't know if we saw a lot of snow, but we definitely saw a lot of rain on that tour.
There's a lot of frozen dicks in the back of my head. Frozen dicks.
What would you grade that? So we get that a lot. We had Dragon Force gave us on my motorbike all day and night for backcountry. They did something that for us. We asked them, they're like, oh yeah, we did that. Do you get that at all from like any other bands and stuff? Like, where does this one grade?
I would say this is a good, like, this is a good B plus A minus.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. I've had,
I'd expect more from us, but you know, I get it.
I mean, what I meant was C minus. We had a Hell or High Water toured with this band with Nothing More.
Yeah, Nothing More. I love that band.
Last couple of years, we did a bunch of tour with them, and they have their last song, they said, is Burn the Witch.
So the whole thing is burn the witch. So we'd be like at the end of the day, like at the merch table, or like bands would be like, everyone's leaving. So it turned into, buy some merch. Like, there'd be like four people at the merch table yelling that.
That's
as
rad.
They're playing.
That's so rad.
And then today, actually, I posted, so I was listening on Sirius, and that band Highly Suspect has mm-hmm. that My Name is Human.
Yeah, it's a good tune.
And I was saying how much better it would be if it was My Name is Herman. Oh, my name is Herman. And it just talks about a guy named Herman and his like daily shit. Like maybe he's got a dog that like barks at people.
And how much more how much more mundane can the name Herman be?
Yeah. Hello, my name is Herman. Yeah.
And he's got to write a song about it naturally.
I mean,
he knows his name is Herman. Yeah. He's got to write a song about it.
So. Very natural.
Yeah. I've heard it a lot, you know, I just wanted to, see your take on it. Yeah.
I feel like
I recanted that story the other day when I knew that we were going to do this episode, yeah. And I was like, I wonder if he has any idea that we used to sing that.
I think if there's any band in existence that hasn't done that to another band they've been on tour with, they have no souls.
No, totally. And yeah. You don't want to tour with them. Yeah, you don't want to
tour with them. No. Don't give them tour.
Yeah. All right, I think we got everything we need for this show. Seriously, thank you so much for coming, man. Cheers.
Thanks for having me.
Another cheers count.
Cheers, count it.
Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.